everyone. My name is Abigail Baxter, and I'm a graduate student from Virginia Tech. Today, I'll be talking about my research on the ability of a novel fertilizer to supply manganese and boron to soybeans. To get started with some background information for everybody, manganese and boron are both essential micronutrients for plant growth. They're known to be involved in numerous plant processes, such as the photosynthetic processes of the plant, enzyme activations, important components for redox reactions, as well as being involved in tissue development and growth, the proper growth of fruiting bodies and seeds, along with being components in the synthesis of amino acids and proteins. As is the case with many nutrients, their availability in the soil is heavily tied to soil conditions, particularly that of soil pH, with deficiencies being more common in soils of high pH or calcareous soils, or in acid sandy soils. Deficiencies in these micronutrients can appear as various forms of tissue degradation, such as interveinal chlorosis, leaf shedding, burning along leaf edges, tissue distortion, etc., and if left unchecked, can lead to reduced yields over time. There are a lot of different methods to treat micronutrient deficiencies, but the most commonly used method is foliar application, done on an as-needed basis, which can be between 1 to 3 applications throughout the growing season, as your fields demand. However, the problem with this is if you are having to come in multiple times throughout your season, it's because you're seeing reoccurring visual symptoms in your plants, and this may already indicate reduced yields. This ties into the objective of this research here, which was to test the ability of this novel fertilizer to provide boron and manganese to soybeans. The novel product is an alternative to foliar in that it has a granular base fertilizer, here being potassium chloride, coated in a micronutrient powder, which can be applied one time at the beginning of the season. Today, my research results are going to come from the greenhouse study that we've conducted, but there's currently a field study underway. It got started this last summer and is going to be continued through the next 2 summers. To get started with the treatments, I had 3 treatments in this experiment. They were replicated 3 times at each of the 5 different sampling periods. And that was 2 days, 7 days, 14 days, 30 days, and 60 days after germination. And this was conducted over 2 different soil types, which I will discuss more in the following slide. For the treatments themselves, the first was the uncoated potassium chloride, pictured in the topmost picture here. It was applied on a recommendation rate of about 67 kilograms per hectare, which resulted in about 1.4 grams per pot. The second treatment was the coated potassium chloride. You can see it in the bottommost picture here with the yellow powdered coating. It was also applied based on a potassium recommendation rate of 67 kilograms per hectare, and that resulted in about 1.7 grams per pot. And at that application rate, the coating itself provided manganese at a rate of about 7 kilograms per hectare, and boron at a rate of about half a kilogram per hectare, excuse me. The final treatment was the control, where no further fertilizers or soil amendments were added. The soils themselves, we had 2 soils here, both of which are acid sandy loams. They were collected from research stations affiliated with Virginia Tech from the eastern side of the state where soybean production is most commonly occurring. They were chosen based on previous histories of manganese deficiencies in soybeans, as well as a recent soil test that came back as deficient for soybeans, which I have highlighted here in red. They were also chosen as comparisons for organic matter content, with organic matter being another soil factor that heavily influences manganese availability, with higher organic matter content tying up that availability for plant uptake. So for the rest of this presentation, the BOJAC soil here, or the 1% organic matter, will be referred to as the low organic matter soil, and for the Dragson soil, this will be the high organic matter soil with the 3.6%. In the greenhouse, the pots were arranged in a completely randomized design, as you can see in the bottom of this picture here. The top picture shows a more individual pot setup, with each pot being planted with 5 seeds that was thinned down to 3 within a week of germination, and they were also contained in individual catch plates to eliminate any nutrient loss from leaching when water was added. Moisture was maintained in each of the pots at about 70% field capacity by weight, and this was checked every 3 days, with checks becoming more frequent as water intensity or water demands increased over time. At each of the 5 different sampling periods I mentioned before, the pots were destructively sampled for soil, total above ground plant tissue, and root tissue. Soils underwent 3 different extraction methods. The first is the Malic 1, which is the standard extraction method for the state of Virginia. We also did the Malic 3 extraction, which is another commonly used soil extraction method. And the third extraction was a weak calcium chloride extraction, which more readily simulates soil content or soil conditions based on salt content. For the above ground plant tissue and the root tissue, those were collected separately and went extraction or underwent extraction through a pure nitric acid microwave digestion method. And the samples from those different extraction methods for plant tissue and soils were further analyzed using ICP. Now the Malic 1 is highlighted here because I'm about to move on to my results, and I'm not going to be showing the Malic 1 data today. This is because we have the time constraint of 15 minutes, and that's a lot of graphs to try to go through. And the trends seen in the Malic 1 and the Malic 3 are very similar. So in an effort to avoid too much repetition here, I was just going to omit that from today's discussion. So to get started here, before I go on any more of my graphs, just to set the scene for you, the y-axis will always be nutrient concentration in milligrams per kilogram, and the x-axis will always be days after germination. If there are any changes to this, I'll make sure to highlight them as they come up. So to get started, this is the Malic 3 manganese data for our low organic matter soil, and you can see that at each of the different sampling periods here, the treated product provided significantly greater amounts of manganese all the way up to the 60-day time period. It's important to note, though, that the significant markers you see here are based on a sampling period basis and cannot be compared across time due to significant interaction effects seen between treatment and time. But within every individual's treatment or sampling period, you can see if the product was still significantly greater compared to the other two treatments. It's also important to note here that there's no significant difference between the uncoated KCl and the control. This is showing that there wasn't a significant salt effect with the KCl that was affecting the manganese availability from the product, and that the product with the additional manganese comes solely from the coating. In comparison, this is the high organic matter soil, and you can see very similar trends here, with the coated product showing significantly greater amounts of manganese at each of the sampling periods. And while the y-axis values are slightly lower here, you can see that that's a difference in starting value. And the amount of manganese added by the coating at each individual time period was very similar across both soils, with that being about 21 to 22 additional milligrams per kilogram in each pot. This is the calcium chloride data here for manganese. As a weaker extraction, it was more sensitive to slight changes in manganese levels, and it shows the treatment with time, despite the fact that I can't have significant differences on here. You can see visually that there is this decrease with time. This is supposed to be tied to plant uptake of manganese as it was growing within the different pots, but you can still see at every time period that the treated product is providing significantly greater amounts of manganese up to day 60. For the high organic matter soil here for manganese, you can see a similar trend with the product providing significantly greater amounts of manganese in comparison here. But the decline with time that you saw with the Bojack soil or the low organic matter soil is less dramatic here. This is thought to reflect the high organic matter content of the soil tying up manganese for longer, slowing plant uptake, and this is making it more of a subtle curve instead of the dramatic drop you saw earlier. For this is the boron data we have. It's also the only graph I'm going to show for my boron data today because it's representative of how all the different extractions came back for soils. And there was no significant differences seen here for boron across treatment types or over time. This is thought to reflect just the small amount of boron that actually made it into the pots. While the coating was supposed to supply it at a rate of about 0.5 kilograms per hectare, it ended up being less than a thousandth of a gram per pot added. So that's just not enough to see any significant differences here in the soil. For the above ground tissue, this is for manganese. I have side-by-side comparisons of the soil data here. The extra yellow bar you see is the minimum sufficiency level in the upper trifoliate of the plant. However, the plant tissue I collected here was whole plant tissue, and that was based on we didn't have enough samples to get 25 upper trifoliates as suggested in the field. So for biomass reasons, we collected the whole pot. It's just more of a guideline of where these concentration levels are falling. In the low organic matter soil, you can see that the product is showing significant greater amounts of manganese in the above ground tissues of the plant at both sampling periods, at day 30 and day 60, compared to the other treatments. And it's also, I mean, all treatments are well above the sufficiency line, but the coated product is showing a significant increase here. There is no significant difference from the high organic matter soils data But you can still see that sufficiency of concentration levels were met here. And this is thought to be another reflection of the high organic matter content tying up the amount of manganese available, especially for luxury uptake rates, as you can see that the low organic matter soil has much higher concentration peaks around 120, while the high organic matter soil is just reaching around 35 milligrams per kilogram. For the root manganese levels here, you can see in the low organic matter soil that there is a significant trend with time from day 30 to day 60. This is thought to reflect the translocation from the roots to the above ground tissues within that period of time as seen with the low organic matter soil. And in the high organic matter soil, you can see that there is a significant greater amount of manganese in the day 30 root tissue. However, that variation drops off at day 60, which is thought to be another reflection of the translocation from the roots to the above ground tissue, but to a lesser extent than was seen with the low organic matter soil. For tissue data for boron here, this is above ground tissue data, and unfortunately there was too much variation in samples here to get significant differences between treatments or over time. As you can see with these error bars, they're kind of crazy. So I wish I could say more about this data, but unfortunately that's just how it came out this time. And for the root data here for boron, you can see very similar trends in the organic matter, for the low organic matter, and the roots for boron over time, as was seen with manganese over time, and that's decreasing from day 30 to day 60, which is thought to be more reflections from the roots of the above ground tissues. Unfortunately, the high organic matter soil did not come back with any significant differences, and this was once again due to variations in sample. So, in conclusion, the soil extraction methods showed strong proof of concept of the fertilizer providing an alternative micronutrient fertilizer source and application way. It showed greater amounts of manganese in the soil for all different soil extraction types, from my strongest to my weakest, for both soils of high organic content and low organic matter content. And it's shown to be especially effective in the low organic matter soil, and that it provided significantly greater amounts of manganese in the above ground tissues of these soybeans as well. Unfortunately, the boron treatments did not come back with any significant difference, but this is thought to be due to the low amount of boron that was actually part of the product itself. The boron was added as a byproduct of the binding agent that attaches the manganese to the calcium chloride. It was not added as a purposeful addition for boron deficiencies, and boron deficiencies are much less common in soybeans in these areas. So the product is still showing good proof of concept as an alternative micronutrient source. Thank you for your time. I'd like to thank Dr. McGuire, my advisor, and all the members of my committee for their help and time on this, as well as the Whitehurst Association for providing the research and the funding.
Thank you, Ms. Baxter. So we have good 3 minutes for questions, comments, and suggestions for Ms. Baxter.
Not yet. They're being tested with field trials underway. I think boron deficiency fluctuates pretty heavily in areas just based on soil conditions. I feel like it's a pretty, I don't want to say fickle, but it's a pretty unpredictable element, I believe. But I, off the top of my head, couldn't list areas known for boron deficiencies.
Any more questions, comments, suggestions?
So in the greenhouse treatment, I planted it and fertilized on the same day. But in the field trials that are going on right now, that had varied a little bit due to environmental and weather conditions. So it'll be interesting to compare that data. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.